May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. Not even a pandemic really can take away our joy and celebration at the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, I'm a history buff. I like history where a lot of you, I know, find it very boring, but you're going to have to put up with me tonight. I really like this account from Luke chapter 2 because it begins in this way. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And that historical note confirms a fact that we Christians already believe, that this is no fairy tale. Jesus was a real person, he was a real baby, and he was born during the time of the reign of Augustus Caesar. In fact, we believe he was born in the 27th year of Augustus's reign. Augustus then had 14 more years to reign. So Jesus would have been about 14 when Augustus died. Now, Augustus was formerly known as Octavian. His great uncle was Julius Caesar, who adopted him as his son and heir in his will. So imagine that, they're reading the will and they say, guess what? You're the son of Julius Caesar by decree. Well, Augustus managed to squeeze out two other co-rulers, and he reigned supreme then through a vast period of time. He was the first emperor, and he reigned a large area, over a large area. Perhaps his greatest accomplishment was that he maintained peace and order throughout his whole time of reigning, and it was called the, anyone know? The Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. It was in this era that Jesus was born. He also spearheaded the construction of roads through this vast empire, which ironically led to the fast spread of Christianity as missionaries went out on those roads to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. Now, as good as these days were for Rome and the Romans, the majority of people in the empire were oppressed, especially the Jews. Why were the Jews oppressed so much? Well, they believed in only one God. Plus, they didn't believe in eating pork and things of this sort. The Romans actually believed in a multitude of gods, including the emperor. In fact, Roman coins bore a graven image of Caesar Augustus with the caption on the coin reading, Divae Filius, the Son of God. You see, Julius Caesar was deified, and therefore Augustus Caesar now was called the Son of God. Divae Filius. He was deified himself. Augustus was no God, no Savior. But the reign of the true God happened in his time. He was the true Divae Filius. And he would bring true peace into people's lives. So what a contrast between Augustus Caesar and Jesus. Augustus lived in opulence. He ruled with an iron fist, with power, with threats. At his command, like in the case of this census, the whole world jumped, did what he said. Jesus, on the other hand, was born into abject poverty. As a vulnerable baby, his birth was an emergency caused by Augustus Caesar, who called for this census of the whole Roman world, and people had to go to their birthplace. So Joseph and Mary were heading to Bethlehem just as the baby was due to arrive. Can you imagine those of you mothers here, having that kind of stress put on you, right? Well, Jesus would be born, and you know the rest of the story. He was born in a stable, placed in a manger. A manger was a feeding trough, clothed in swaddling clothes. And yet Jesus was truly the King of Kings. Augustus was a peon compared to him. What no one knew at that moment is that Jesus' humanity, his helplessness and vulnerability, was cloaked, hidden, concealed, his being God. The most important thing that ever happened in the world, God becoming a human being, was hidden from all people. The incarnation. And Jesus would truly ever be a human and truly ever be God in one person. He came down to us to pluck us up to save us. Michael Hendricks tells about a dinner party that he once attended. And during the Christmas season, this house was wonderfully decorated, and it included an electric train around the Christmas tree. Now, where I grew up, Baltimore, Maryland, this was a custom. And every year, we would get out the train set and put it around the Christmas tree. Now, what happened at this particular dinner party was that a little girl was at the controls, and she was going too fast, and the train derailed. She was hovering over it, trying to put the train back on the track, when the host came and said, "You can't do it that way." And I know this to be true. You can't stand above it and try to get the train on the track. You have to get right down on the ground and see it from that angle, and then you can put it back on the track. What a wonderful way to think about the incarnation, Hendricks says. The human race had been derailed and needed to be put back on the track. It couldn't be done from above. It had to be done coming down to our level to put the train back on the track, to put us back into a relationship with God. God came and lived among us, and Jesus showed his love. Jesus showed that he was the Savior and put our life back on track with peace with God. You know, Max Lucado puts it in a very poetic way, the omnipotent in one instant made himself breakable. He who became spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. God as fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life being created. God emptied himself and became a baby, a helpless baby. He came down in order to bring us up. Now, in Christian theology, Jesus' earthly life is divided into steps called steps of humiliation. Now, this is not embarrassment. This is humility, ever more humbling acts in his life. Conceived. Do you remember when you were conceived? I hope not. Hope you didn't answer yes to that. Born. Suffered, crucified, died, buried. These steps are all going down. Jesus did this for us so that he could take our place under the law, that he could take on what we were due, not what he was due. Of course, there would be steps of exaltation coming to Jesus as well, steps of glory. Descending into hell, where he would proclaim his victory and say to Satan, It's not going to be the same anymore. And then there would be the resurrection, a sign that we would all be raised from the dead. It's our hope, our sure hope. Ascending into heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now all authority is given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. And then he comes again to judge the living and the dead. But before he comes to judge, we have a chance. We have an opportunity to believe and trust in him. He's available to all people right now. Right now. There'll come a day when he won't be available. You might ponder what all this means to you personally to have a Savior. Personally, yeah, he's the Savior of the world, but what does it mean for you that he's your Savior? You know, Christmas 2020 is nearing the end of a chaotic year. I read a survey where 65% of respondents, this is in our nation, said this year was a year of personal crisis, and they felt defeated. Personal crisis, and they felt defeated. You know, there's an angst, a fear hovering over our land. There's the COVID pandemic and the corresponding economic crisis for so many. Let me ask you, how many of you know of someone or had COVID yourself? Let's see. Oh my goodness, we're a sickly bunch and we have a lot of people we know that are, right? It can happen to anyone. The divisions also that exist in our land and even our families in this election year has caused great distress. How many have had that distress in your families? All right, fewer. Right. I hope I didn't cause it here tonight. And then there's the apprehension of where our country's going. What's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen with COVID? Is it going to mutate? And we'll, if we've had it once, we can get it again? Heavens. Yeah. Someone said, I used to be an incurable optimist. But now I guess I've been cured. Right? Because of sin, we walk in darkness. We can feel lost. We can feel afraid. We can feel unsure. Because in the darkness, you can't see very well. You can't see what's ahead. But smack dab into the darkness of this world comes Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And that makes us a different kind of people. There's light. There's light for us who believe in Jesus. The darkness recedes from the light and our fears and worries with it. And so we see Jesus who has us in the grip of grace. I believe that. I hope you do. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be a great joy for all the people, for you, me, everyone. Let me prescribe a Christmas remedy for the uncertainties and the fears of our day. It comes in three parts. Worship your Savior. This is my first prescription and remedy for these times. If you can't come to church, worship online. Or have personal worship in your home. This is exposure to the light. This is what our God tells us, when we worship him, we come into his presence, and that light shines on us. Sing hymns, pray, take the Lord's Supper. All of these things are injecting light into our lives. And when you're in the light, fear departs. Secondly, read the Word of God. Read the word about your Savior. I would suggest you this coming year, you read the four Gospels at least. Come to get to know the real Jesus. See the compassion that he has for us. See how when we're confused and we're lost, he comes to us and he says, I'll make things right for you. As you read the Gospels, highlight every promise that Jesus made. Highlight them. Think about them. You know, lots of times we come to know Jesus and he's kind of a sterile figure. He was never meant to be that way. Come to know the real Jesus. Come to see him in flesh and bones, and come to see him as the most unique person who ever lived. Come to hear what he has to say to you, because he will speak to you. He'll speak to you through the Word of God. He'll inject that light into your life. And finally, pray to the Savior. Pour out your heart to him. Do you know what Jesus said to us? He said, I will hear your prayers. And now I have all authority in heaven and earth. I'll answer your prayers. I'll answer them in the way that is best for you. Think about that. I think that calls for kind of a disciplined prayer life. When do you pray? Can you go days without praying? Why would you do that? You know, one blessing, if you can call it this, of the pandemic is that we're praying for people. I'm praying for one of our members, Mike Murphy. We pray for him. You know, he's in the hospital. He's not been doing well. Will Jesus hear my prayer? He definitely will hear my prayer. I hope you're doing that too. Hope you're praying for people. Hope you're praying for the issues that face us in this country, this time, in this season. Our Savior has come. He will not leave you in the depths of fear or anxiety. He does not want you to be in the darkness of sin. He is your Savior. For Jesus Christ comes with light and forgiveness and hope. He is the true Son of God, and he has come for you.